Hi, Nessa from StudyClicks here. The following is the audio from a live webinar featuring StudyClicks CEO and co-founder Luke Saunders in conversation with history teacher and AI expert Patrick Hickey. The webinar was recorded on the 20th of April 2026 and aimed to answer all the questions parents and teachers might have around the impact of AI in education. For more free tips and resources on how to support your child's education in secondary school, check out the Parent Centre on StudyClicks. The link is in the description of this podcast. I'll pass it over to Luke and Patrick now. I hope you enjoy listening.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome along to StudyClicks webinar on AI in education. I'd like to welcome Patrick Hickey, and before I do that, I'll just introduce myself. I'm Luke Saunders. I'm one of the founders of StudyClicks, and I'm also a geography, maths and biology teacher. Delighted to have Patrick Hickey here tonight. Patrick is a Leaving Cert Examiner of history. He's a teacher of over 30 years of history and English. And in more recent times, he's an AI in education specialist. So welcome along, Patrick.
Very good. Thanks, Luke.
Now, I suppose, tell us first of all, Patrick, how did you get into this brand new world of AI?
Well, I suppose, Luke, as your introduction there, you primarily introduced me as an educator, and that I am, but I'm also a parent. And I suppose we're going back 3 years ago now, and there was a lot of talk around this thing called ChatGPT 3.5, right? 3.5. And it was in the run-up to Christmas, and it was one of those quiet days after Stephen's Day and, of course, the annual watch Home Alone with the kids had to be done. So that was done, and I packed them off to bed, and I said, let's try this, you know, let's try this ChatGPT. And like, I suppose, like most people know, if you haven't, like, it's, you can download it, it's free, there's a free version of it. And Home Alone was ringing in my ears anyway. So I said, write me a sequel of Home Alone set in Ireland. And it did its thing, right? Its output came out. And here we had Kevin. Did you know he has long lost cousins in Ireland?
I didn't.
County Clare, right? Off the cliffs of Moher. And of course he's in Ireland, right? And they're telling him, regaling him with stories about pirates and lost treasure. And sure, he goes off with them anyway. And Luke, I had a blockbuster on my hands, you know, and that was an early version of ChatGPT. But I think from that moment, I saw its potential, you know, and sure, here we are now.
Here we are now is right. And like going back from my early days of you know, setting up StudyClicks, like I remember back then, it was even like broadband was an issue and access to devices, like things have just changed so much. And I think like, only recently we did a survey, a digital learning survey of teachers, and we've done something like this over the last number of years. So we surveyed about 600 teachers, and I was amazed to see that 82% now say that they're using AI currently in their teaching. Really, really high. Like that number was far, far lower this time last year. The students tend to come before the teachers with these tools. That's our experience of it. But 82% currently using AI on the ground. Is that your experience? I know you go out to a lot of schools and you speak in schools and at principals conference. Would that surprise you at all? Or have you seen teachers really embrace AI?
I suppose when I have given talks, like the my go-to first question is, who uses AI, right? Mm. And they'll kind of look around because it's... Well, certainly at the start, it was not a thing people wanted to be associated with. But I suppose when the hands did go up, you might, out of a staff of 30, you might get one or two, right? Mm. And look, everyone else had tried it, you know. I suppose it was the big talking point. It was going to sweep teachers away. We wouldn't be needed anymore, you know. It was going to do all the learning for students, you know. So people had a look, you know, maybe weren't that impressed. Of course, they were using an early version of it, the free version of ChatGPT. But I think in the meantime, you know, I suppose given the development of AI, the pace of it, what it can do now compared to then, a lot more teachers are using it. And why wouldn't they? You know, In the hands of an expert, a professional like you or I, who knows what works with, say, maybe a geography class in your case, last class on a Friday evening with TYs, you know what works there, and what won't fly, So if you have that expertise, you can do amazing things with AI.
Yeah, I totally agree what you're saying. Like the big challenge as a teacher is time, and having that ability to create resources or bespoke, customized things for individual students, I think is super helpful. And that's where I really see an advantage of from a teacher's perspective. Like one of the things that I hear on the ground quite a lot from teachers is like we haven't had any training, right? Whereas students take a completely different stance. They're very much just plow on, download
We'll
it,
dive
have
in,
a
yep.
go. Whereas teachers feel they need to be trained. And I'm not sure training is like, training's not easy with something that's moving so fast, because the training you do this week could be out of date in 2 months' time when the latest version of whatever AI model you're using comes in. What's your view on that? Do you think is there a place for training in this whole new world with AI?
Well, absolutely, I suppose, given like the changes that are coming in education, particularly at Leaving Cert with AACs. I suppose project work in general, my own subject history, but I think across the board, it's going from 20% to 40%, at a time when there's a technology that can be used, or misused or abused, to do that project work for them. It is vital that teachers be given training. Now, as it is, maybe I go into schools, I give talks, other people do the same work. But it's at the behest of a principal that decides, I bring in someone like Patrick Hickey or I suppose the Department of Education, EDA, they provide courses as well, but they're not mandatory. They're optional, which I think is, it doesn't meet the demands of where, like this technology, it's in every kid's pocket, right? It is there right beside them. Like my phone is beside me right here, and again, it's very hard to resist that temptation. Students are busy people, especially in senior cycle. They have sports, they have jobs, right? They have girlfriends, boyfriends, all that stuff has to be done, And look, if you thought you had something, or as I call it, a homework genie to do the work for you, like that temptation is very hard to resist, unless we can educate them, give them AI literacy, and plant a good, healthy seed of skepticism around every AI output they see. And indeed, Luke, we're at the point anything we see on screen at this moment.
No, I agree with that, and like the one of the things I think all AIs are very good at doing is look incredible, and I think it's really difficult for students to separate, when they're used to teachers speaking with authority and credibility on things, and then they ask questions of something like ChatGPT or Claude or whatever it might be, they assume it is correct, and it's not always correct. And I see just in the chat there, and I would encourage any of our attendees to put some questions into the chat, and I'm happy to pass them on to Patrick. But it's very interesting. One of the questions that came up there is like, is how is StudyClicks using AI? And also just it kind of goes back to that whole point I was making about credibility, right? Because when a student is learning and when they're using a tool like StudyClicks or like ChatGPT, they expect it to be correct, right? And that's what they assume is always the case. And I might just it's probably a good time to just kind of show how StudyClicks are using AI in our product. So one of the ways we did it was we did a lot of research with students, and we've been doing this for almost 15 years now, is what can we do to actually help a student? So I'll give you an example from, say, junior maths here, for example, right? So let's say we have a student who is studying probability. Okay, I could pick any of the questions really, but let's say we take this particular question here. A footballer is practicing penalties. What's the probability that he scores both penalties, et cetera, et cetera. Often what students find is that they don't know how to get started with a question, or they sometimes even at an earlier level, it's like they don't even understand what the question is asking them to do, or what is, what are the command and phrases, what are the command words in the question. So a couple of things that we do with AI and StudyClicks is around putting the students on kind of rails with the AI. So it's they're asking particular questions, particular prompts. So one of the most popular ones that students are using, and this has been used over a million times now, answer guidance, is a step-by-step solution breakdown. So what it does is think of it like it gives the student a scaffolding for how to approach a question. And what's different about this and other just general chat models is it's been trained on the marking scheme. It's been trained by expert teachers like Patrick that know their subject. So it's not going off hallucinating because it's got a very defined set of sources that it can use. So we're finding that students are really gravitating towards that because it's done in a kind of responsible way that they know is credible. And it's all been checked by teachers in each of those subjects. So that's just how StudyClicks is, I suppose that's a bit of a shameless plug
Would
of
you
it.
say that there, Luke, there's a lot of AI products out there that they're just plugging in marking schemes, claiming that's the definitive answer, right? That's the answer now. When you and I know, and we're marking exam papers with years, the marking scheme is one thing, but it's what the examiner knows, what the expert is bringing to it, and that's what we brought to what you demonstrated there.
I see a comment there in the chat, which is quite interesting. It says AI can tell if something is written by AI. Now, I'm not sure that that's actually true. I think there's a lot of it's extremely difficult to trace what is actually generated by AI and what's not. And I suppose that neatly brings us on to the whole, we'll call it the elephant in the room, is that I feel like there's almost a perfect storm is happening at the moment, right? So for the last decade, there's been talk and hopes to introduce project work into the Leaving Cert. Okay. That has now happened. It took a long time to get past all the unions and various things, but we now have project work for a Leaving Cert. And, for parents or teachers that listen in, that's happening in four subjects at the moment, four Leaving Cert subjects. We're talking biology, chemistry, physics, and business. So you now have a thing called an AAC, which is an additional assessment component worth 40%. And that's a project, right? So we know now that that's there, but the perfect storm is AI has landed in just as it's landed in. And now that makes that really difficult. So the project work is done by the student, verified that it's the student's work by their own teacher, and then goes off for external assessment. It's a bit of a tricky situation. I suppose maybe Patrick, if you can take it from there on that one.
Well, first of all, I just see it there in the comments as well. Yes, and actually last week was a very good example of it. I run a history page as well, and last Friday was the sign in the project, the RSR, the research study report, and a lot of parents and some students were asking me, they were putting their projects into AI detectors. Right, and you'll get these, and of course they make huge claims, that they're so accurate they'll spot it. There is the best AI checker, Luke, right, is sitting in front of me. It's you, it's me, the expert in the subject and the expert in the student, right? And maybe expert is the wrong word, right? We know our students, right? We know when something is amiss or something just is off in terms of what they're writing, or suddenly they go from, a H5 to a H1, right? AI detectors, they will make claims, right? They'll put up a percentage, but there is no way anyone can stand over those. No way. There is no 100% foolproof AI detector. I
And
suppose.
I would argue, Patrick, that it's also if, for a teacher to, we'll call it, accuse their students of cheating or using AI to generate, say, an essay. Now it's different in the AACs, but it's a tricky area to broach with your students. You have used AI. If you've no actual evidence for that, it's very, very difficult.
But you see, and you described there as the perfect storm because, we need to be trained in the new courses, right? A lot of these now we're starting from scratch, right? But at the same time, we're dealing with project elements that have gone from 20 to 40, right? That's a big increase. But where is the time? There has to be time set aside, right? That teachers like ourselves are in a position that they can comfortably stand in front of a class. And I've always said this, I'll say it till the cows come home. A teacher will not teach unless they know what they're teaching, right? Or unless they
Exactly.
know what they're guiding on. And no teacher, very few teachers, like there are exceptions, I suppose. I'm in this space, you're in this space, you know. There are some teachers, but in general, they are few and far between. Yes, there are a growing number of teachers, as you said, using AI, but I think we're still very far away from saying most teachers will go into a class and talk to students about AI and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. It's very hard to do that when you don't have the training and you don't have the guidelines. Okay.
And on the leaving cert, specifically the AECs, because I do see a number of questions coming in on that. What is the guidance? Like, are students allowed to use AI? And if so, is there any particular things they must do, or is it totally no go? What is the situation?
No, before, well, actually, it was around midterm. Before midterm, finally, after a long wait, Irish teachers were given guidance, not guidelines, guidance on the use of AI. And in that case, I suppose, to sum up in a nutshell, we were given the green light to use AIs because of our expertise, our knowledge of our subjects, our knowledge of our students, you know. Our knowledge of any admin work that had to be done, right? And no, that was happening anyway. After midterm, then the SEC produced for the first time a composite guide on coursework. So all those different forms, you know, at the you know maybe the run up to the submitting projects, or you're going to the SEC website to download. They put them into one booklet, and in it there was an appendix on AI. And basically, it said students can use AI, but in very, very limited circumstances. So, for example, they could use it to brainstorm ideas. Okay. But any AI output that they used in their project, you know, it would have to be acknowledged and it would not be given credit. So, you won't get marks for it. So it is very limited, and I think that that is the right way to have it. Now, it also gave guidance on how to spot AI. You know, I think that's the nearest teachers to this point have been given universal, in some way structured a CPD on this, but we need more.
And just for if there are parents out there or teachers of these newly revised syllabi, I'll just point you at this as well. So one of the things we have done on StudyClicks is if you go into the fifth year version of, say, chemistry or biology, and you click in there, you will actually see a full guide to doing those AACs. And what this is really just supporting the teachers or indeed the students who have these AAC guides coming up. So you just go to the subject and then you'll see it there at the top. They're all vi there's vi there's video-led versions of it. There's a whole guide. It talks about just how to structure it. It's just guidance around it. Obviously, it's not going to do it for the student. It's not AI itself, but what it's doing is giving really good trust advice by people who know what they're talking about. And a lot of teachers will share that with either onto the learning management system, so Google Classroom or Microsoft Teams for their school. So we see them being really popular because often what happens is when there's curriculum change like this. I remember it back in the Project Maths days when they introduced Project Maths, a revised syllabus for maths. A lot of teachers and indeed students look to StudyClicks to go, okay, what's on the course, what's not on the course, and you know, often this happens, and I'm seeing the same thing happen again with these new courses. So that's the AAC piece. In terms of risks, and I'm sure there's some parents on the call tonight, Patrick, like. You know, I have a 12-year-old girl is my eldest. AI is going to be part of her life. What advice would you give to us parents to actually help our children use it in a safe and responsible way?
Well, I suppose two words, a shared conversation, right? Because I know it happens. Like, you know, I suppose kids, they get phones very, very early, very young, right? And I suppose they're with the best intentions, a lot of the time, you know, I put my hand up for this as well. Like, you know, they are left to their own devices, you know. But look, we do set boundaries, you know. We do talk about them. In my case now, my eldest boy, you know, like he gets so much time on his phone, that kind of thing, you know. But I suppose we need to be, now, I suppose expert is the wrong word, you know, but maybe become a curious guide, right? We're all in this together. We're all learning at the same time. Like, this has come at us so quickly. But I would say to parents, like, talk to your child. What AIs, and I said plural, what AIs are they using, and how do they use them? And I mean, sit down with them, sit down at a laptop. How like what do you use it for, right? And they might say, well, I'm using it now to brainstorm an English question I have to do, or a geography question. See what it looks like, and then ask them, like, and this is the key thing, AI is here, right? But human skills like creativity, right? Critical thinking, being able to cross-reference all those C words, like, that is so important. And ask your child, like, do you spot the mistakes, right? Maybe. Well, and in general, in fairness, I have to say, students are very good at spotting that. They quickly cop on, like, but some don't, and if they don't, maybe you spot something, and maybe tease that out with them, discuss, but plant that seed, model that behavior, that look, it might look like the perfect answer, and it's, of course, as you said there, it's so sycophantic, it praises everything you do, but that we need to push back, and that is so important. So I think that shared conversation, agree boundaries as well. That, look, if you're talking to your child, like, all right, now you want to use AI to do the essay, but what have you come up with so far yourself? Right? We don't have to go to AI all the time. We've developed bad habits with Google, right? Right? We have to find something, but then again, Google is, we have all those AI overviews as well. So look, there has to be agreed boundaries that it's not going to write the essay. But look, if you hit a bump, and I suppose, look, the scariest thing in the world can be a blank page or the blank second page. How can we keep the ball rolling? I think that's a time where you can use it. But once that's done, like, it cannot become a crutch, right? It cannot
Yeah,
become a shortcut for learning.
that's the piece I worry about. Like again, going back to the surveys where we asked students what they were doing, we've been asking this for 2 years, and I remember in the first year, which was 2 years ago, there was only a small percentage of students using these models, and it was at the very early stages. Consistently, what students do with AI, from our experience and from our data, is help them get started on essays. Right, so it's essentially like a typical example would be they might have a personal essay on something in English, or they might have a Macbeth essay. Lady Macbeth is overly ambitious, or whatever. Discuss, and the first thing they'll do is go to ChatGPT or something and say, "Give me ideas," right? And that's the bit I worry about the most. That it's like, when it comes to creative analysis or being creative or being analytical, they just go straight to the tool. And obviously in a Leaving Cert exam, that tool isn't going to be there. And I worry for them on that. But it's not just a Leaving Cert problem. I think it's a wider issue of just
But it's
not
the
being able to think,
They do the domino effect. Like, I suppose, look, like I said to you, they're busy people, lots of subjects, like, they have sports, job, relationships, all that stuff going on, but look, it's down the line, like, when they go into their careers, right? I mean, all careers, right? The AI is going to come into it, it's the human expert, right? The person that has, like we did, like, when I walked into a classroom 30 years ago, Luke, it was not pretty, all right? But you learn as you go, and that learning, it stands to you, right? You build up experience, you learn from mistakes. If we bypass that, right, and that's the risk with AI, like, it's very possible, like, students, like, they'll be left floundering, and again, like, a time will come when, look, you can bluff for so long, but when push comes to shove, you can get caught out, and that could have terrible consequences in terms of career, your professionalism.
And it's got implications for students. Again, have reported to us in surveys that they're actually choosing their CAO college choices based on AI, right? That they see AI as a threat to their potential earning power. And I'm very, very conscious of it as a parent that, I do worry about the effect it's going to have on our young people in order just to be able to get a job, particularly. at a kind of a junior part, a junior role, like
Oh, yeah.
in terms of how do you, if all those kind of admin tasks in work life and what in the work currently or at least 3 years ago would have been very much the task given to a junior role in a company, they're going to be decimated in the coming years. And I just worry for my own children that this is going to hamper their ability to get into professions. And I think parents like me and I think teenagers, students should be aware that the jobs market is going to be very different in 5 to 10 years, if not sooner. And yeah, like have you picked up on that with your own students? Are they thinking about AI and how it's going to affect their third level choices and careers?
They have, I suppose, like, certainly it's going to change certain jobs, certainly like the junior level roles that you mentioned there. But I suppose, like, there's also an opportunity there, that if you have a, like, and I think in the future, it's people with a distinct voice, right? People are able to communicate, people who know what they're looking for in terms of what I need to say in a class or to a client, or those people, they will do fine. But it's those people that will just rely on AI. I'll feed everything in, all the data in, just all its output. That's what I'm going to deliver. People, customers, society, we will be looking for more. So it's vital, it's vital that, like, those things that make us uniquely human, like we've said it before, creativity, critical thinking, those are maintained. Because if we short fuse those, and AI can, if we go too far with it, I suppose it goes back again. We have to set boundaries, give students room to learn, make mistakes, and not feel like they should run to ChatGPT or Claude whenever the going gets a bit tough.
And I don't get me wrong, like we have talked about a lot of the risks and the pitfalls, but there's huge opportunities here, like for learning. Like I remember when the internet came about, really, when I became a teacher myself, whatever that was, 13 or 14 years ago, I remember coming into a classroom in Sligo, which is where I am now, and being really surprised that the internet hadn't changed teaching and learning even since I'd been a student myself. And that's kind of where StudyClicks came out of. I was like, where are the online learning resources for me to as a teacher and to give to my students? And we built StudyClicks as a result. I think there's a huge opportunity with AI if used correctly, like the answer guidance I showed you and many more great tools that we're planning and I'm sure others are planning. There is opportunities to use this. And I would be advising, and I will be advising my own children to become au fait with it and good at using AI. Like I really think that the kids of the future who are going to get jobs will know how to get the best out of AI and will not kind of shy away from using it, but will use it in a way
Once
that is
they
productive.
bring that, what I think is vital, that domain knowledge, because we know our jobs inside out, but I suppose what's preventing us creating that perfect lesson or that perfect class, it's time, right? It's energy. You're a younger man than me. You'll get more done in the day. I won't, right? So there are times I need a bit of help to get through the what I call this the grunt work, because I love teaching. I love helping students to learn, but, like, preparing those lessons, putting those resources together, it's I can do more of that. Let's put it that way. I can do more of that.
Any final questions, feel free to put them in the chat before we finish up. We're almost at the 30-minute mark. I'll just read out some of the comments
Very
that I'm
good.
seeing here, which are really insightful. We've got humans are needed to validate AI. Over-reliance on it would be found out on exam day, therefore impacting results and options. Jobs are changing with AI impact, but there will be entry-level positions required to build out organizations. The other one, which is an interesting one, from Paul, I find it unacceptable that teachers are expected to authenticate students' work. Most students are over 18, adults, and therefore should be asked to self-declare. That's a really interesting point. That, like,
Yes,
I think
that.
this is a problem for a lot of teachers that they're being asked to verify students' work when they really can't do that.
That's
Which is
right.
very
I saw it for first time now, what I call the blue form, that you sign off project work with. This year, no, what was it? P2, P3. There was a different code anyway. If you did suspect a student had used outside assistance or AI, but it's putting teachers in an awful position. Like there's enough pressure, there's enough going with the job, and it's a great job, don't get me wrong. But I suppose with the advent of AI, it is just another, like, I suppose what's happened is we're kind of given the ball. This is AI. Go figure it out for yourself, that should not be the case, and like the authentication issue there, that's part of it also.
I think, and I suppose wrapping up a little bit, I'd be interested in your thoughts on where you think AI is going. Like, I suppose at a simple kind of level, I feel that schools are going to move towards using a chosen AI model for the school that they trust, and that's the one that they mandate is used for the school. Just like they decide, for example, Google Classroom is their LMS or Microsoft Teams. I feel that that's going to happen with AI, that there will be a dedicated provider and there will be guardrails put in, because I just can't see a future where they just let students type whatever they want into any computer in a computer room in school. Where do you see it all going, Patrick?
Oh, so it's very hard to tell, because like if you had talked to me 6 months ago, all I would have talked about is ChatGPT. ChatGPT, my go-to AI. I don't use it anymore, right? No, there's ethical issues there as well, but I use another AI now, which I think is far better, far superior. And I think I suppose none of them are squeaky clean, but I'm happier to use that other model. Look, it's here to stay. Look, it's going to become it is embedded in everything, I suppose it was the internet of your day when you started off, it is here to stay. But I suppose the problem with this is the internet on steroids, infinite steroids, because it is developing exponentially, not linearly, exponentially. So it is vital that between now and, was it a year or 2 years' time you were asking about, teachers get mandatory training, that they get. And I'm not talking about one day in the year. I'm talking about, well, ideally every year, because this cannot become a tick the box, because it is changing so quickly. And I think that, like, there's value in it. If you understand its power, its potential, but also its perils, and once you realize that, I think wonderful things can be achieved, but we have to be so careful with it.
And I do think I think the role of a teacher, a human teacher, is more important than ever in this new world. I really do think that. And I think, yeah, there's lots of opportunities in where this is all going. What I might do just to wrap up is I'll just draw everyone's attention to, by sharing screen again, we have an area on StudyClicks. You will find it down in the footer. It's free for everybody. It's called the Parent Center. And this is where we upload most of these types of webinars. There's a lot of really good resources if you're a parent. Like, for example, here we've got like dyslexia diagnosed in secondary school. We've got other webinars. This is one that we would have recorded a couple of months back with Dr. Richard Hogan, a child psychotherapist. There's a load of really good resources. You can listen to those on Spotify while you walk the dog, or you can watch the video if you want to see me sitting in this chair and Richard Hogan. There's a lot of really good bits of advice and so on. Just to conclude, I'd like to thank Patrick Hickey very much, and thanks to all the people who attended tonight. I really appreciate it on a sunny evening to attend, and it shows that you care about where this is all going, and hopefully you found some of what we said helpful. Thanks again.
Evening,
Cheers.
everyone. Bye, Luke. Bye bye.